My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, our show about the Vince Gilliverse, including Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul, which we're talking about now.
Yeah, specifically, episode 3 of season 2, Gloves Off, which was written by Gordon Smith, directed by Adam Bernstein, and it originally aired on March 7th of 2016.
Originally titled Degloving.
Ugh.
Yeah, the original word for this. Jimmy's storyline is still on the same path, but Kim gets folded into the conflict. So it's not just Clifford being a square, you know, he wants, you know, he gets consequences because it hurt Kim.
Yes.
And this makes Jimmy and Chuck talk to each other again here. But this is largely a Mike episode. Mike and Nacho. Nacho enlists him to take out Tuco. You know, he doesn't want him to find out about Nacho's side business because he realizes if Tuco does find out, or even he thinks he finds out, Nacho is dead.
He has spent enough time around Tuco, 4 or 5 minutes, to know that maybe he's going to kill him for no reason.
Yeah, it's Tuco's move.
Yeah.
He enjoys killing for no reason.
Especially when he is high on, and I was baffled when I heard this, peanut butter crank.
Yeah, peanut butter crank was a fun term.
Yeah, fun discovery. It's, I guess it's an inhalable meth, based on the Googling that I did. And the AI at the top of the Google page suggested that maybe it was peanut butter flavored meth.
Ah, God, what a miracle it is that everything is wrong when you search for information.
God, I love how everything works.
The future is so goddamn good.
Put all of our money in it. Everything.
Yeah. So we get Nacho out from under Tuco's thumb. He's going to be his own character, and also to bring in Hector Salamanca.
Yes.
And set up that grudge. You know, Mike v. Hector, and give Mike a motivation for ultimately joining Gus.
And we'll dine on it, but getting pre-stroke Hector Salamanca was not something I knew that I needed.
Yeah, it's great. Like, he's a great actor, you know, during this. And he is a good actor in Breaking Bad, but he has more to do.
Yeah.
Here, like, they, I love, we talked about this in Breaking Bad, I love how every, you know, as much as the Salamancas can be cartoonish, every single one of them is scary in a new way. Here, like, they are a monster family. They're Cenobites. They're a demon. You know, they're the what is it? The Sawney Bean family. Like, they could not be suffered to live.
No.
But each in different ways. You know, Hector is scary in a different way than Tuco.
Yeah. Kind of a more old school way. Like, like a gangster way.
Yeah, yeah. And I like some gangster shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I've just got just a small note here. This could come up at any point, but just in terms of looking for production detail and stuff that will, that does not involve listening to the commentaries, you know, with all the backslapping and stuff, the bar for what, for what's considered trivia needs to be higher.
Yeah.
You can't just be texting Craig Robinson about references.
There's a lot of references. This reminds me of how, on IMDb, they'll use trivia if, two actors worked together before.
Yeah.
And that increasingly is just true. You know, like, there's, like, it just feels like
every day more actors are working.
More actors have worked together. As they make more movies, more actors have worked together. Yeah. And just, you know, especially when they're older actors, like, is George Clooney working with somebody?
Yeah.
It's like, no fucking shit. Like, yeah, that's not trivia.
It's like, Murder, She Wrote is mentioned, and, you know, all of these, like, 4 or 5 actors had you know, had, like, bit parts on it back in the day.
Yeah, so did everyone. It was what character actors did.
Yeah, yeah. It actually used to be this whole industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it all just dried up.
It's, and it's, you know, not a whole lot of production happens.
Yeah.
You know, so there's not a whole lot of production trivia, like, especially not unique production. You know, because we're going to see some beat down here, but we've seen that.
Yeah.
You know, starts with a flash forward. Mike stumbles in his house at night. We don't see half of his face.
Yeah.
You know, he stumbles in. He's obviously in a bad way. Grabs a bag of great value frozen carrots. Apparently they have Fred Meyer's down there, and presses it to his face.
Yes.
Or is that a great value? I think that's Walmart, but it's the Kroger brand.
Yeah.
When he pulls it down, he's been beaten the shit out of.
Yeah. The entire left side of his face is just all swollen. They've given him the full Aaron Paul. He got jessied. And he pulls some silver jewelry out of his pocket, these, you know, these pendants. It's two little punching bags, and he grimaces. For all the world, I thought that this was just something that that Tuco dropped. Like, oh, he's badass. He's gonna have like a set of, 'cause
it's diamond encrusted.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like something Mike would have. I think the implication is Mike used to be a boxer.
Yeah. So the one bit of actual useful trivia on this, apparently the silver gloves, this kind of thing is an award for being really good at like junior boxing. Apparently that is a thing. So I thought Tuco dropped this and he looked at this and it's just whatever. But I think that this is showing that Mike has a history of,
taking punches.
Yes.
Yeah. So he could take the punches. He's got the Homer Simpson helmet in his skull.
Why me?
Yeah. Homer Simpson syndrome. We go over to Jimmy showing his commercial to Cliff Maine and the partners. And one of the more irritating things of them being a dork is Cliff being like, Jesus, use your own voice. I said out loud, so fucking what?
Yeah.
To this, as much as I can buy some of the, their, you know, this is a bad look for us.
Uh-huh.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Nobody knows that voice.
Nope. It's literally you're probably not going to work with this guy. Yeah. You know, he's not like a...
Wait a minute, that was the voice for the commercial.
Oh, this is all cheap. This is rinky-dink.
Yeah, I don't want this.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because Jimmy, who is used to money being an object, keeps making this argument on price. You know, it was cheap. You know, it's $672 to make, $700, he used his own voice to save money, $700 to air it once, and they got 200 phone calls off of that.
Yeah.
You know, it was an experiment, and it was a success, and it didn't cost very much.
Right.
You know, and there's the disagreement. They don't understand why he's bringing up cost at all. That has nothing to do with anything. Money is no object to Davis and Maine.
Yeah. Yeah. You keep using the word experiment like you're the goddamn Wright brothers. Like you're the first person to the first person to figure this out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the partners talk about how this is a problem. You know, like, hey, yep. like, you know. Like they're keeping it in proportion to a degree. It's just like, okay, it's one airing and, you know, one small market. But you cut us out, right? This is not something that you can do. This behavior is not going to fly. And Cliff
chain of command shit.
Yes.
You know, Jimmy says, you know, I'm in charge of this stuff. He's like, well, if you're in charge of payroll, you couldn't hand out $1 million bonuses.
Yeah.
That's a wrong sized comparison to this as well. $1 million bonus is different than this.
Yeah.
You know, but basically the idea is you can't go above our heads. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't fit in as part of a team, you got to go.
Yeah.
You know, and then they reveal the real reason.
Yes.
You know, we have clients, you know, Sandpiper is not actually how we make our money. We have clients who wouldn't want to be associated with this kind of this.
Yes.
You know, it looks cheap. Mm-hmm. They don't like how it looks like something that Saul Goodman would do rather than something that they would do.
Right. You know, we are not TV lawyers. We are a white shoe firm that it basically has gotten rich people to like and trust us by building a prestige brand.
Yes. Right?
And this kind of thing, if it was seen widely, would make rich people think less of them.
Yes, is the idea. And they'll get less rich clients, fewer rich clients.
Yeah.
Cliff says the vote is currently 2-3 to fire him, but he believes in second chances. He's in charge.
Yeah.
We're going to find out the origin of his belief in second chances in season 6.
Yep.
They let that go for a long time, which is, I like that.
Yeah.
But he says, you know, let us know that this is your first and second strike, and you are going to be watched like a hawk.
Yes.
You're going to get a lot more oversight now, mister.
Just because it's going to be like a year and a half before we get to season 6, and we're not going to remember to follow up on this, he believes in second chances because his son is an addict.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy goes to his office and immediately tries to call Kim. He knows he fucked up now, and he's trying to do damage control. And, you know, please call me before you talk to Howard. But we see Kim's phone is in a plastic bin outside the conference room. It is too late.
She's been blindsided. Yes. And Howard is drilling her for information about when she learned about the commercial, right? Like, if you knew about this and you knew that Jimmy was planning to air it without getting, you know, Cliff and the partners on board, like, you could have warned us. Like, you know, just all of us being caught flat-footed makes you and us look bad.
Yeah. Well, he says that, but then she says, I didn't know that it wasn't approved.
Mm-hmm.
The as a thing, she had seen the commercial. She admits to that, but she did not know Cliff was unaware. Mm-hmm. She did kind of know that, but she's covering for Jimmy.
Yes.
You know, and Howard says, you know, this doesn't reflect well on you. It doesn't reflect well on us. You know, mm-hmm. really freaking out.
God, this fucking face-saving, like, Shadowrun Hong Kong shit.
Yeah, this is absolute bullshit. Like, yeah. Get honor out of your fucking mouth. Chuck asks Howard what he's going to do, and he's just silent. This is, again, you know, before we talked about how originally Howard is going to be more of a villain. They pivoted to Chuck. This mm-hmm. is some of the more villainous shit that Howard does.
Yeah.
In this, you know, he's more justified than he was in season one of just being an asshole. But like this pivotal being in document review ends up being the most important thing in these seasons.
Yeah.
Like a fate worse than death that any cost is worth avoiding.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, it's not just, it's obviously what it represents, but mm-hmm. like it seems still like an overreaction to me.
Yeah. So like Howard respects Jimmy with the Charlie Hustle stuff, but it's more tenuous with Kim.
Did some damage
for no reason, really.
Yeah. 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 It feels a little bit unright sized.
Yeah.
Nacho and Mike are standing across the street from the Mexican restaurant where they do the counts.
Yes.
And Nacho says, kind of lays it out. Here's where he'll be. This is how he takes the money. He comes out the same way every time.
Mm-hmm.
You can take him out.
Yeah. You know, just it works the same way. We take clients all day. Like the reason it takes forever is because Tuco does his lie detector. He just stares at a guy and thinks he can see truths in them.
Yep. And we've seen him do this before.
Yes.
You know, he sits facing the window every time so he can keep an eye on his car. Mm-hmm. It's they like that this is seated.
Yeah.
That Mike notices this for his plan eventually.
Yeah.
And Nacho says, you need to shoot him. Mm-hmm. You know, he's going to come in, come out in his car, you're going to take a break. You shoot him and he starts doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going to happen? You'll allow traffic, you know, mm-hmm. midday. What if somebody pulls in behind me? I can't get away.
Yeah.
You know, I love this. Like Nacho's like, who's going to pull in behind you? I'm guessing somebody wants tacos. Like it's a taco restaurant.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, if something can go wrong, it will. Like, this needs to be done right.
Yeah, same shadows of him poking holes in the plan to kill, you know, the initial train heist.
Yes.
Plan. You know, there's two kinds of jobs, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. It's the argument that he's having with Walt about how to get the laptop out of evidence storage, right?
Yeah. And Mike, you know, asks Nacho if he's sure he wants to do this. You know, killing your partner, it's a bell you don't unring. And I love this performance from Michael Mando. Nacho says, you'll see this mark on my shoulder. And he tells a story about peanut butter mouth. In 1996, there were bikers selling peanut butter mouth. Tuco got to using it. And he thought a dealer was cheating on him. He mm-hmm. shot the dealer with a sawed-off shotgun out of nowhere. And this is a bit of skull stuck in his shoulder. He can't go to the doctor. And I love this delivery. You know, the thing is, Tuco liked that guy.
Yeah.
You know, that was somebody he liked.
Yeah, he felt bad afterward.
Yeah, he felt, and we've seen that.
Uh-huh.
We've literally seen him do this in Breaking Bad. It's a nice little, this is a thing Tuco does.
Yeah, it's when he did it to No Dose, right?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't matter if he likes you. If he's high, he's a totally different person. He's unpredictable. What you said, if he finds out about my side hustle, now that he's on meth, even if he thinks he found out, I'm fucking dead. It is him or me.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mike's looking for something that'll not put him as close, right?
Yes.
Like, okay, we need to do this a little bit more cleanly. And he points to a vacant lot nearby. You know, there's a hill about 1,000 yards away. You know, if someone was, you know, took a shot from there, they could just leave before anybody, you know, recognized what happened, right? It's not like you're assassinating a president. It's a it's a busy street, or like it's a retail street. You know, not to ask like, hey, you know, like, can you make that shot? That's, you know, pretty far away.
Yeah.
1,000 yards is nothing.
I can make the shot.
Yeah. For 50,000, I can make the shot.
Yep. Yeah. I can do that.
He's got to go back to the old him. Yeah.
Yeah. Jimmy shows up to HHM after hours and lies to the janitor about being there to get Chuck's desk blotter. But really, he's checking up on Kim.
Yes. I love the janitor's name, Gispaldo.
Yeah.
Real big Benevenstanciano.
Yes. Kind of.
And he goes, and Kim's office is completely empty. kind of implying that that you know she's been fired, but no, even worse, her soul is trapped in the eternal torment crystal. But as document reveal,
cornfields.
Yeah. You know, janitor says like, "Hey, she's downstairs in document review." You know, at the end of this you know long table, just poring over papers, and Jimmy apologizes, saying, "You know, Howard can't punish you for something that I did at a different firm."
Yep. And she, you know, she says, you know, "I told you this would happen." And he says, he can't blame you. I told you he would.
Yeah.
You know, we just had this conversation right before you did the thing.
Yeah.
He says he's trying to fix it. And she says, "Fucking no. You know, if you go to Howard, we're done. Like, stop trying to help."
Yeah. Stop trying to help. And also, like, Kim doesn't like people speaking for her.
Yeah. Yeah. And he'll make it worse. Addition,
absolutely, you know? Yeah. But you know, what Jimmy kind of like hones in on is like, wait, we're not done now. Like their relationship isn't. You know, she's not done with him.
Yeah, she's not breaking up with him.
Yeah,
she's behind on her quota. So she tells him to leave. He apologizes. She doesn't respond. She's pissed.
Yes.
So Jimmy goes to Chuck's house, pounds on the door, warning before he just lets himself inside. Mm-hmm. And Chuck has had an attack of the space blanket problems. It's because Jimmy did something untoward. He's under the space blanket on the couch whimpering, and Jimmy cares for him very tenderly, you know, gives him an extra space blanket, sits down to watch him as he sleeps just so he can wake up and give him shit. Like this kind of duality of how he feels about Chuck is on display here.
Mm-hmm. Again, more patience than he has exhibited.
And again, like saintly, you know, but it is he loves Chuck, you know, but he's fucking pissed at him.
Yeah.
And he's sublimating his anger. He's mad at himself.
Yes. So Mike, in trying to pursue, like, okay, if I'm going to snipe somebody, I need a rifle. He enlists, again, one of the greatest characters in fiction. Lawson, Jim Beaver. Lawson, the arms dealer, the guy who sold Walt the M60 or what have you.
Calmly professional in a soothing way compared to the McPoyle brother. Who sold the vest.
Yeah. God, just like this character and fucking the sensei for one battle after another. Like we're assembling a team, Gary.
It's like super cool dudes.
Yeah.
The you know, Lawson says, you know, I filed on the serial number, and Mike, I love this little like their crime knowledge off.
Uh-huh.
Mike's like, an acid test, look at that. He's like, that would be true, but I stippled a bunch of extra holes into it.
Yeah.
So should pass that and most of your higher end measures.
Yeah. You know, it was like talking about like metal density scans. It's like nothing's perfect, but this is damn near it or something.
Just touche. Like it's just like, oh yeah. You're talking my language.
This guy knows what he's doing. Yeah. But he's got all these rifles laid out on a hotel bed. The first gun's too heavy. So it's like it looks like a hernia. The second gun is a semi-auto and it can jam. You know, and just God. Lawson says, you know, good bolt action rifle, you jam it. I wager you were setting out too.
Yep. This third one he says that about, because the semi-auto will jam. This third one, he's like, this won't jam. It's an M40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same rifle used by a Marine sniper since 1966. You know this one. He goes, oh yeah, you could say this. Mike was a sniper in the Army.
Yeah.
And they talk about how they changed the stock from wood to fiberglass because of the wood warps. Mm-hmm. And we get a little like, this is like the power armor plot in the Fallout.
Yeah.
You know what the ghoul says about it. You know, somebody should figure that out before they send into a damn jungle. Like this got people killed, cause they saved money.
Yeah.
Army.
Yep. And Jim's only, answer. Jim Lawson's only answer is probably.
Yeah. You know, and Mike, this makes Mike change his mind. He was reminded of his sniper past. It's like, I don't want to do this, this way.
Yeah.
You know? Lawson says, I can bring some more. Mike goes, no, and tries to pay him for his time. And Lawson, because he's a saint, says, you know, I make my living on repeat business. When you need what I'm offering, you know how to find me.
God.
You know?
I want Jim his Beaver. Show. I need his show. I need Lawson.
The Lawson Chronicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mitch Smith, him raising Holly.
Yeah. That'd be great. The raising Holly Hugh was there. Yeah, there's an inflatable Statue of Liberty statue somewhere nearby.
Declan's son factors in.
Yeah. Declan's son. The ghost of what's his name? The friend.
How Lewis?
Yeah, Lewis, the ghost of Lewis is there all the time watching over them.
Oh, God. Like, Lewis's ghost has, like, spread through the wells, like, through the aquifers beneath
He can go in any reflective surface of water he can appear in because he's connected to all wells in Albuquerque.
Yep.
So they have to, whenever they're solving a mystery, they have to find a well. See if they can solve the oracle.
It is weirdly useful to the point of being contrived.
Yeah. Only ran for a half season. Sucks. Dump it. Chuck wakes up. He's surprised that Jimmy's still there. I love that bit. He woke up, saw he was there, and just kind of assumed he'd go to sleep or he'd leave. You know? And he says, you know, because Chuck, Jimmy's a servant. I could use some tea. And I love the characterization here. Jimmy's going to do it because he needs to get to his point.
Yes.
He doesn't want to do shit for Chuck anymore, but it's quicker to just do this.
Yeah.
Give the baby his bottle so we can talk.
Right. And Jimmy confronts him, you know, thinking that Chuck is doing what he did to him. Right. Yeah. Like, okay, you know, just like, we thought it was Howard that keeping me down, but it was you acting through him. Like, you can't stick it to Kim just to get to me.
Yeah.
You know,
and he's saying, no, it wasn't me. Howard does those kind of things.
Yeah. Howard makes all the personnel decisions. You know, tell me, when Howard was making his management decisions, was he sitting on your lap with your hand up his ass? Can you drink a cup of water while you make him talk?
Yeah. And this is actually a situation where Chuck didn't do it. You know, he just said, what are you going to do? Right? Like, he's probably influencing a little bit of... He instigated this whole thing by poking holes in the solicitation bit. But this is, you know, he didn't punish Kim specifically.
Right.
You know, but it makes sense that Jimmy would think he did, because this is his move.
Yeah.
You know, and Chuck says, you know, or Chuck says, you know, I didn't do this. And Jimmy says, well, Kim didn't do anything. She didn't know I didn't have permission.
Yeah.
You know, and this is where Jimmy finds out she didn't rat on him about that.
Yeah.
You know, as far as she was concerned, Cliff Maine was already clued in.
Yeah.
And Chuck twists the knife. Like, yes, I didn't. I'm not punishing her, but she should have known better. You know, she should have known you better.
Yeah.
Like, she knows you.
Jimmy says, you're such an asshole. I love this line. Why? Yeah. For pointing out that her one mistake was believing in you?
Yeah.
Which, true.
Yeah.
It's true, but you shouldn't say it.
Yeah, it's true, but you shouldn't say it. You know? And Jimmy is making the argument he got results, you know, with this. And Chuck, you know, you broke the rules. You can't break the rules. You're like an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you, but you can't not do this. You know, someone's giving you the keys to the school bus, I'm not going to let you drive it off a cliff.
Right.
As a thing. I can't help but just go back to the fact that these are 100 old people who are going to maybe get something they wouldn't have gotten before.
Yep.
Or 200 old people who are maybe going to get something, and it just maybe possibly did reputational damage.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't break a legal rule here.
No, he even made a point of that to Kim last episode. Yeah. We didn't point it out, but it's like all of this adheres to, you know, bar guidelines.
Yeah. Like, I'm not breaking the legal rules. Why is this style? Like, it is trying to draw a line between real rules and arbitrary rules. And it's blurring the line of what Jimmy sees, you know, of seeing those.
And, you know, gets into this classic human dynamic of, okay, we're not fighting about the original thing anymore. We're fighting about the fight.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And Chuck says, you know, you can't do this. Like, life isn't one big game of let's make a deal. And I love, yes, it is. Oh. You know, I'm Monty Hall. Let's see what's behind door number two. What'll it take? Get Kim out of doc review. I'll do whatever. You know, I will quit law. That's what you want, right? That is what you want. I'm presenting it to you. I hear. Yeah.
And, you know, this is a smart move of Jimmy's, but Chuck is smarter, right?
Yeah.
He thinks around these corners. You know, Chuck knows that what Jimmy's trying to do is get him to admit to extortion. Right?
Oh, I don't think that's what's happening here at all. I think that's what Chuck thinks he's doing, but I think Jimmy is being genuine here.
Yeah.
I don't think Jimmy is doing a move.
Hmm.
I think Jimmy genuinely doesn't understand why Chuck wouldn't do this.
Yeah, like, I could see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, of course you should do it. I'm offering you everything you want. It's win-win. Nobody gets hurt. What is the fucking harm of this? Yeah.
Like, I guess the reason that I assume that Jimmy knows what he's doing here is because he doesn't take exception when Chuck says that's what, when Chuck points out that that's what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, it is. Yeah. Like, he can't deny it. Mm-hmm. It would be extortion. It would be illegal.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck says this is extortion. He goes, yeah, you know, or so are you going to extort me? Like, it's easy. I won't tell anybody, no more Jimmy McGill. It's like I never even existed. It's what you want.
Yeah.
You know? And Chuck makes his comment, you know, his thesis here. You want me to commit a felony because that's what you would do. You know? And Jimmy, you know, furious, like, roll around in the dirt with me. Do it. Get your fucking thing. Like, get your bag.
Yeah.
At this point.
I'm showing you my belly here. And Chuck, because he has to have the high ground on every single aspect of his life, says, I'm not the bad guy here.
Yep. And you better get going.
Yeah.
It's an hour to Santa Fe. You're going to be late even if you leave now. And that probably isn't going to look good with everything that's happening.
Another feather in your cap with Cliff Maine.
Yeah. Brutal. We cut over to Mike back at the construction site. He says, Nacho, listen, I'm not going to do it. You know, here's the thing. It doesn't solve your problem. You know, a dead Tuco draws Salamancas like flies.
Yeah.
Your problem is that you have the secret. You didn't say you needed to die. He just needs to go away.
Right.
I have a plan that can make that happen with no guns, no killing.
Yeah. And we cut to later, you know, later on, the day of the money counts. And Nacho at one point is like, oh, you know, just you want to get him in, you know, get him into prison. Like, that's going to come back on me. Right. Like, they're going to know. But it's the day of the counts and we get crazy origins. Yeah, he says,
if we did it, as if I ratted on him,
that
would come back on me. And he's like, you're not going to have to rat.
Yes.
It's a different kind of plan.
Thank you. We're on the day of the counts and we get Crazy Eight Origins. This is Domingo Molina.
Yeah. To the Joker, this is a regular eight.
Reasonable eight.
Yeah, reasonable eight. Responsibility eight shows up.
It's Domingo. He's here giving Tuco some cash and Nacho counts it. And Tuco is just staring at him for several beats. And I like Domingo just saying, like, it's all there and good. And then Nacho tells him to shut up.
Like, stop helping. You know, and he gets to go. Tuco takes a bump. Outside a payphone, Mike calls the police to report a fight. You know, there's somebody holding up an old man. Looks like some sort of gang thing, but I don't want to give my name. I'm just a passerby. I don't want to get involved.
The acting that he's doing here, that Mike the character is doing, like trying to play up like a old gormless man.
Mike is great.
Dave Clark or the Dave Clark Five.
Yeah, a little before your time. Like, whenever he's doing that, it's real fun.
Yeah.
So his plan here, which is very elaborate and pretty risky, given that it does involve knocking a gun out of Tuco's hand.
Yeah.
But it does work out. It's fun to watch. He dings Tuco's car loud enough to make a noise, goes inside and orders a taco, you know, as a thing. As Tuco starts shaking him down, like, hey, old man, he's pretending he's not talking to him, you know, and he's playing gormless. Like, I'm not aware of anyone's car, but if I did, I apologize. You know, he flashes his cash. He wants to show that he has hundreds of dollars with him.
Yeah, so that later he can say, like, all right, well, accept responsibility, but we've got to go through insurance. Do you have a pen? It's like, you know, I don't have any money. And Tuco's like, you know, no, I saw the money. You know, just, oh, that's my social security. It's the only money for the month. Like, he's doing everything he can to escalate this.
Yeah.
And Tuco's like, hand me your wallet and maybe you walk away from this.
Yeah. And he leans in and does the final thing. I'm not giving you a damn thing. Tuco flashes the revolver and the sirens start. You start hearing sirens. Nacho says, you know, it's time to bounce. And Tuco says, you get out of here. You know, I'm not letting this indignity stand. You know, Mike grabs Tuco's shirt. Tuco draws his gun and Mike immediately knocks it on the ground. And then Tuco starts punching and Mike holds himself up against the pole. So Tuco can't leave and he can stand up.
You know, like, holding there, like throwing the fight, like, this cannot, it needs to be one-sided beat down, right? Otherwise,
well, and the most important thing is Tuco can't leave. Like, he has to hold Tuco there.
And Tuco, you know, gets in a bunch of punches and then finally lands like a right hook on him, like it's fight night.
The cops show up. They pull the gun on them and they have this, you know, Mike leans in and goes, is that all you got? Tuco laughs and punches him one last time. This is the last time Tuco shows up. In the series. It's a nice ending for him. Like, Raymond Cruz did not want to play this character anymore. Just kind of did it as a favor. He does not like playing a heavy. like this. I like this ending for him. And yes. I like that it just brings in worse Salamancas. Because when you're making a choice in this universe, bad things should happen.
Oh, yeah. Terrible things should happen, right? Yeah. Like, you know, you solve one problem only to have invited a much bigger one.
Yes.
And this does satisfy continuity. You know, Tuco did just get out of jail. Like, that's part of the story at the beginning of Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Yep. So later back at the construction site, Nacho pulls up and Mike walks out from the dark. He's beat the shit out of. You know, he's saying, hey, you know, there's no chance of him getting away. The cops witnessed Tuco committing a felony. He had his gun. I don't even need to testify. And Nacho gives him half the money, $25,000. Yes. You know, you could have gotten twice as much for one-tenth the hassle. You went a long way not to pull that trigger. Why? You know, and this is going to come back later. He's going, you know, who would not pull that trigger? He's going to put these two and two together. Mike just looks at him.
Yeah.
And he sees that he was beat the shit out of. He walks back. His car.
I like the way this is shot. Like, only the swollen side of his face is lit until he turns, you know, like, and I feel like that's meaningful on asking basically an echo of the question that Jimmy asked at the end of the last season, right? Like, you know, why didn't we take the money? What stopped us? You know, you know, just one of these little decision points.
You know, and in that one, it's meaningful. In that one, he had an answer, and this one, he does not answer.
Right.
You know, because there's not that big a difference. And I think probably on some level, he knows this isn't just going to go away.
Right.
You know, but Stacy must have a slightly bigger apartment at all costs. Kim must get out of document review at all costs.
Yeah. Like, this one's next to an Aldi. It needs to be next to a Whole Food.
And yes. It's got to go up a little bit.
Do you want there. Kaylee getting cancer, Gary?
It's not even, it's like, it's next to a Whole Foods and needs to be next to a New Seasons. Like, it's not even all these to Whole Foods jump.
Yeah, no, you know? Just, yeah, shit. Yeah, you have bougie grocery store experience that I don't have.
Yeah, there we go. Aldi's great, but not bougie. That's the episode. This is real fun. I like seeing Mike do Mike shit. I like what this is going to portend. You know, ultimately, like, I was complaining about the contrivances that brought us here, but what this ultimately leads Jimmy to do is cool and good.
Yeah.
You know, and important. It's just all based on Davis and Maine feeling like their reputation was damaged a little bit.
Yeah.
And if I recall, we have a real spin and wheels episode next as well. a lot of montages of Jimmy having oversight.
Yeah.
You know, we know he doesn't like that, you know, but we just have to see it a lot.
Yeah. Gotta have it hammered in.
Yeah. A little bit of a flabby middle of the season, but still good stuff. Yeah. What can they do if they like the show?
If you like this show, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, throw us a few bucks a month and get just a shitload of content, whole bonus shows, and support us. You know, you keep our houses hot.
We would very much appreciate it. You can also leave us ratings and reviews. We usually say or, but you can also and.
Yeah.
Even if you support us, leave us a rating and review. Mm-hmm. It's free. And it helps people find out about us, talking about us in forums, things like that. It's awesome. We appreciate it. And join us in thanking our producer, Gwen, who also composed our theme music.
Thank you, Gwen.
Yeah. Until next time, boy.
Boston Chronicles 2027.
Yeah, there we go. Look out for it. Pluribus 2.
All of them are Jim Beaver.
Yeah. Yes. God, what a world. Being Jim Beaver.